As Brother Thomas comes around, I ask you to lift him up in your prayers. You know, when I call on these brethren to share the time, it's not because I don't have anything to say. But it's good for the church that we hear from more than one minister. And I just pray that the Lord will bless Brother Thomas this morning to bring a message, and then we'll close out the service. So may the Lord bless you, brother.
We're thankful the Lord's blessed us to be here this morning, and thankful he's blessed you all to be here today, and pray the Lord bless our time together in his word. We enjoyed the song service, and appreciate the blessing of being here at Piney Grove, and appreciate our pastor, Brother Clayton, and the blessing of the liberties, you know, that we have to to share the pulpit together. Amen. That's a joy and a blessing for us as God's servants, and it can be a joy and a blessing for the church. One of the things that I believe that Scripture tells us about, that it's healthy for any local congregation if God blesses them with a multiplicity of gifts, of speaking gifts in particular. I think it's not healthy for a church if they have a pastor who's jealous in the wrong way concerning preaching of God's word. Because I think pastors need preaching to as much as anybody else does. So maybe sometimes more. I'd like to call your attention for the time before you about an interesting observation that I made several years ago in the reading of the first chapter of the book of Luke. You know, in the first chapters of the book of Luke, we have what sometimes is termed the Christmas story. Of course, it's about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and some of the events that were a part of his birth and a couple of things in particular that took place before his being born of Mary. And in reading chapter 1 in particular, I noticed something that, you know, I read through chapter 1 that particular time, and I'm kind of slow to catch on to things sometimes. And I read that, and there was something. I said, now I just saw something there, but I'm not real clear on what it is. So I went back and I read it again. And I looked at that, you know, I said, there's something there that's just right there. So I went back and I read it again. And what I found was, what the Lord blessed me to find, was that there are four visits that takes place in Luke chapter 1. Four distinct and particular visits that take place in this particular chapter. And every one of them are important. We all like visits and visitations. Well, most of the time, you know. Sometimes doctor's visits, which I've never understood, you know, why you use that term, you know, doctor's visit, you know, but anyhow, that's the way we describe it a lot of times. Of course, I guess maybe that's better. I certainly wouldn't want to go to live with the doctor, you know. But, of course, now people that are married to doctors, they might feel differently. But anyhow, the Bible does talk a lot about visitation. And visitation, of course, is good, or can be good. And so here in the first 25 verses, we have described for us the visitation, in particular, about Gabriel visiting Zacharias. And in the visitation of the angel to Zacharias, of course, that's the time that he talks about to Zacharias concerning the coming blessing of God for him in particular, in blessing them, he and Elizabeth, with the son, and of course what that son, that child, would mean as far as the deliverance of God that was coming. You know, real quickly, here is a man who has a wife, Elizabeth, and they have not been blessed with children up to this point in time. In fact, it tells us that they had no, in verse 7, it tells us they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. The prospects of them having a child, of course, at this point, as far as nature was concerned, were bleak. They probably had, perhaps they had kind of resigned themselves to the fact that they would not have a child. Now going, you know, just to think about, you know, to be barren, for a woman to be barren in Israel at that time was not what she wanted to be, because the bearing of children was very important to them, because Israel as a nation was just a large family. And that's the way they operated. And that's the way God set them up to operate. So the having, you know, having children, of course, meant then the sustaining and the carrying on of the nation, of course, that God had established. And of course, we could go back and talk about the importance of that just from the history and from the blessings that God blessed many women who, as far as nature was concerned, appeared to be barren. But God blessed them, of course. He opened their womb and blessed them to have children. And here the angel appears or visits Zacharias and, of course, tells him that they shall have a child. In verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. One thing I want you to think about too is in the visitations here, that each time a visit occurred or is talked about, it's not just a social visit. It's a visit with a message. You know, these, you know, Gabriel here is a messenger sent to Zacharias and bearing this message. Now, of course, just again for you to think about, here's a message, you know, as old as Zacharias was at this point in time, you know, here's the angel of the Lord, and Zacharias knew it was an angel of the Lord. He knew this was a special visitation. And of course, the angel told him this was a special visitation. And you know, in my mind, I would think that even as old as Zacharias was, at least mentally, he should have been doing leapfrogs, you know, somersaults. All this time, Elizabeth and I have tried to have a child. And now here's this angel of the Lord telling us that we're going to have a child. Well, what was Zacharias's response? Really? Really? To use, you know, modern day language. Brother Zacharias says, whereby shall I know this? If Zacharias had stopped right there, I think he'd have been okay. See, I mean, you know, it's an honest question. Whereby shall I know this? Many, many, many times in the Old Testament scriptures, people had asked for signs. Whereby shall I know this? But he didn't stop there. He says, for I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. I'm sure that wasn't a glad tiding to Zacharias. Thou shalt be dumb. Why? And not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. When the Lord visits us and gives us a message, let's believe it. You know, even as incredible as it might seem. You know, let's don't be like Zacharias was, if we can. You know, our human nature, of course, typically is, you know, to question such things. But nonetheless, that was Zacharias's response, and this is an occasion where a visitation is going to bring about joy with sorrow. Joy with sorrow. Here's a man that could have been celebrating. I mean, you know, verbally celebrating, you know, this message, but he's going to have to wait because of his unbelief. Well, the next visit we find in verses 26 through 38. Of course, this is the central focus visit of the scriptures. This, of course, is when again the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Just another side thought. The angel didn't say, blessed art thou above women. Blessed art thou among women. Okay? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. These folks must have drank from the same well. Now here's Zacharias, you know, receiving a good message, and he begins to, you know, kind of, well, he actually questions, you know. Well, at least Mary, she just cast in her mind, you know, well, what is this visitor talking about? The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. And let me say this too, apparently her questioning or her musings on this subject were different from Zacharias's, because Zacharias received the judgment of not being able to speak until the child was born. But the angels, what Mary received was consolation from the angel. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name a Jesus. So here's a visit with a message that brings joy and glad tidings and is well received, even though there's a question in Mary's mind and an honest question. How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? But at same time, perhaps the reason overall that Mary didn't receive the same thing that Zacharias did, if we go all the way down to verse 45, we find that Elizabeth makes this statement concerning Mary when the third visit takes place, and that's when Mary visits Elizabeth. Okay, first we saw Gabriel visits Zacharias, then Gabriel visits Mary. And then Mary visits Elizabeth. And this is it. And these things kind of, they're all important, but they kind of crescend in importance, you know, from the one all the way up to the last one. Mary visits Elizabeth, and Elizabeth It came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now this is quite an informative visit. This is one of those things in Scripture that you just praise the Lord for, because here's Mary coming to Elizabeth, and in my mind, in the way I'm thinking and picturing this, Mary's coming to Elizabeth to inform her what Elizabeth already knows. You know, and before Mary can tell her, Elizabeth says, "I know about the child that's in your womb. I know about this." And of course, how can these things be? Because God's in control. God's orchestrating. God's moving. God's causing and making these things to happen. Of course, because this is one of the great, well, I think I'd be safe in saying the greatest design of God's will for his people. And God's in control of it, because God loved his people enough that he's going to carry it out and see that it's carried out the way that it ought to be carried out, because he didn't want any hiccups. He didn't want any mistakes. He didn't want anybody to fall through the cracks. He wants what his will was in the salvation of his people to be carried out. And he carries it out. In fact, this, in my understanding, would fall under some of the things that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, more than just the things that he lists, under the foreknowledge and predestination of God. That, you know, this is some of the predestination of God that he's absolutely going to see that it gets carried out. Not going to leave it to chance, not going to leave it to men. You know, he says he's going to save his people from their sins, and he's going to see that it's done. And he did, of course. "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." A lot of babes have leaped in a lot of mothers' wombs. Amen? Those of you that have had that happen, did you feel like that when that babe leaped, it was because the babe leaped for joy? That the babe said, "I'm happy to be here, Mom." Here's a babe that leaped and said, "I'm happy to be here because of my Savior. I know about my Savior." What a visitation. So Mary, Gabriel visits Zacharias. Gabriel visits Mary. Mary visits Elizabeth. Now let's get to the last visitation. We'll have to go all the way over to verse 68. And this is Zacharias' sermon. And in Zacharias' sermon, in verse 67, it says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying," and notice how he starts his sermon, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Now that's an odd statement to me. How about you? Are you with me? Do you see it? Do you see it? Zacharias didn't say, "For he hath visited and will redeem his people." He said, "He hath visited and redeemed his people." Zacharias understood something that everybody, every child of God ought to understand. As far as God's concerned, the moment he predestinated and foreknew and said, "I'm going to save my people," it was as good as done, as far as God's concerned. It just hadn't been carried out yet, okay? But it was as good as done. Now, sometimes we think that way. But we know that in who we are, in our weakness and fallibility, sometimes our best laid plans don't get carried out. As much as in our mind, "Oh, we can do this, it's as good as done." Don't have you ever people, you know, "Will you do this for me?" It's as good as done. And then it doesn't get done. But if God says it's as good as done, you can figure it's as good as done. It may take him 4,000 years. Every how many years it takes him, it's going to get done. So he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. There are a lot of pointers concerning the gospel, what the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And that's one of the most important ones. He's visited his people. What he said he'd do, he's done. What he said he's going to do, it hadn't happened yet, but it's as good as done. And we can rest in that. May the Lord add his blessing.